Let us begin with prayer. Oh God, we thank you for your word and for your scripture, and we thank you for this story. Help us to continue to chew upon your word, which gives us sustenance and guidance and inspiration. May we continue to digest what is in today's words and help us to apply it. May it give us direction for this week. So may all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past week, Marlou and I had an interesting experience at home. Our bathtub was clogging up. Many of you have had plumbing problems recently. Few of you, yes. Not too many of you, but... So we call the plumber, and the plumber shows up, and he has one of these snakes with a little hand crank. Have you seen those? So he goes through the bathtub. There's this little metal piece right underneath the faucet, sticks the snake in, and starts cranking away, right? At the end of the line, he feels there's something there, so he, you know, unwinds and tries to get it back. And you know what he finds? He finds a root, and he finds some wipes. So we figure, okay, that's the problem. We're happy it is solved. And so plumbers, then what they do is they fill up the bathtub and then plug up the drain with about that much water, and then they let it go to test it to make sure that it's clear. So it's draining really good, and it's sounding really good until... the water slows down. Before you know it, it is stalled. He hadn't solved the problem. And he didn't have the kind of heavy-duty equipment you need to get at where the problem was, where to find it. And so he said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to refer you to a different plumber. We had had this problem before to where you need a plumber that on top of your roof, and then there's a vent near your bathroom, and they snake it down through the vent, and it's big old spool of like snake, and it's that thick around, and there's this machine, and it goes down there and it grinds down. So the plumber came before, and he said, you know what, if you, this is going to happen again. Going to have to call me, and I'm going to have to go on your roof and snake down through your pipes. And he said, if you keep having to call me, you'll do damage to your roof, and you may damage the pipes. So he said, what I suggest you do is to put a clean out right the ground level right outside your house. So if you own a house and you have a clean out, you know what I'm talking about, but so I said, okay, let's do it. And so the plumber climbs underneath the house, and there's a crawl space about 2.5 feet. And because you have to locate where the main line is, because it's a main line problem. It's not just a problem with one of the pipes from the bathtub, but it goes farther to the main line. So he has to crawl into the house and find where the main line is. So he locates it. Comes back out and he says, I need to go and buy parts, and I need to go and get a different truck and another person. So they go and they come back and they start digging. They're digging for about 2 hours and right outside this one vent in the house. And they finally run into a pipe, and they said, aha, that's it, that's the pipe. And one of the guys says, well, I'm not sure that that's the pipe. Because he said, the pipe, there's this cement slab on top of the pipe. And it was built in time of World War II, and so it's this cast iron pipe, right? So he says, it could be into a cesspool or into a septic tank. So he's not sure. So they dig some more, and digging for another hour. And They don't know what the slab is, and they come to find out it's not this big old slab that goes into a septic tank, but a cover. And the cover is to an opening to a reverse flow valve. And I didn't know what a reverse flow valve was, but it's if the sewage gets backed up into the street, it can come up through your house, but that reverse valve will block it, right? So I learned something new there. So the guy is still saying, but I'm not sure that is the right pipe. I think it's deeper. So they dig some more, they go another foot deep, and finally they say, they're scratching their head and thinking, we don't want to open that pipe because that might not be the right one, right? So I came up with this idea. I said, you know what you need to do is go back underneath the house and follow the pipe again to make sure it is. And I was pretty proud of myself because I came up with the idea and I hadn't learned that in seminary. So I said, okay, you need to go under the house. And they said, since it's your idea, I invite you to go under your house. And, you know, it's dark, it's spiders, and it's 2.5 feet deep. And I said, well, that's not my talent, so I declined. And so the guy crawls back under the house, right? And there's this small vent hole, like about that big, and there's mesh in front of it. So he can't really see us, and he can see through the little holes, but we can't see him. And he says, the main line, it's not over there, it's over here. It's like 3 feet over. And we said, no, it can't be, it has to be over here. So we can't figure out which is the pipe. So he said, why don't you start digging and see if it's the pipe where we're at. So he's under the house and he's digging that pipe. And he says, aha, there's moisture here. So this is the pipe. And it's the same pipe where we are, but still he doesn't know if that's the pipe or if it's underneath it. So they've all keep digging and digging, and finally he bangs on the pipe, and we can hear it, and we can feel the vibration, and we say, okay, that is what we're looking for, finally. And so they do the surgery, you know, they cut the pipe, and it was in, because it's built in that era, it's weighs 100 pounds, this pipe about that big, it's cast iron. They replace it with the plastic, they put the clean out, and they put the valve. And now I'm $1,300 poorer. But I've heard other stories. When I give this sermon at second service, they said, that's nothing. Ours cost this many thousand and this thousand. So it could have cost more, it could have been worse. There could have been damage inside the house. Our scripture this morning has to do with knowing what you're looking at and knowing what you're looking for. Now, John the Baptist knows what he's looking at. He says, here it is. Here is the Son of God. Here is the Lamb of God. He knows without a doubt that this is God's Son. Now, how does he know that? How can he be so certain that this is Jesus, that this is the Son of God? John says in the scripture, well, at first he doesn't recognize Jesus, but then he saw like a dove come down, like the spirit of the dove come down and rest on Jesus. And then the voice tells him, this is the one that you are to baptize. How is it that John is able to see and understand and grasp God's revelation to him? Well, it's because John is so in tune with the Spirit. He is so connected to God. He is so focused on God. He is called, he is faithful, and he is serving. And that is part of being able to recognize God's moving in our lives when we are so in tune and in communion with God to see Jesus. The scripture calls us to ask the question then, are we in tune with God? Are we in right fellowship? Are we connected? Are we focused? Are we serving in the way that God has called us? Have we taken the call that God has given upon our lives? Have we given seriousness to that, and are we responding? Are we living it? Are we focused, or are we so easily distracted or misdirected by so many things? Are we in the stream? Are we in the flow of the Spirit? Are we in right fellowship with the community? Are we, is our minds and our hearts unclouded or clear so that we can experience the revelation and the inspiration and the epiphanies of God as John did? Because when our spiritual pathways are clear, when our passages are unobstructed, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of compassion and mercy and grace and acceptance and forgiveness will flow through our veins and our arteries. And it should be freeing. It should be liberating. And it spills over into this feeling of joy and contentment and fulfillment. That's how John the Baptist felt. Now, John the Baptist's life wasn't easy. He was facing, people were suspicious of him. He was feeling people were questioning him. There were skeptical people. There were negative people. There were naysayers. And he was receiving bad vibes from people. Or people threw hate at him. But because he was so connected, because he was so in fellowship, that didn't matter. It didn't deter him. It didn't stop his service. It didn't affect him. It didn't change his focus at all. In fact, he was able to transcend it and rise above it, and he himself was transparent. And so, as he was serving God, he became this great vessel for the miracle of God in the supernatural event. In other words, because he was so faithful and so focused, that God blessed him. And the blessing was not material. It was not with human praise or adoration. It wasn't in social status or anything. But his blessing was his close communion with God. Connection with God's Spirit, with the Messiah that surpasses any other blessing. And so God blessed John, and thus John knew what was in front of him. John knew what was facing him, and as a result, John was able to embrace the call. John was able to embrace that whole event and to embrace Jesus. So in effect, John is preaching and proclaiming, and he's saying, here it is. I am for certain that this is the Son of God in front of us. There are two disciples who are there. And he's proclaiming and preaching this. Jesus asks the two disciples. He says, what are you looking for? Do you know what you're looking for? Are the disciples in tune with the Spirit? Are they deeply connected? Are they entirely focused like John the Baptist is? Are they living in the stream of the Spirit of God? Are they in right fellowship? Are they in their hearts and minds uncluttered, unclouded, unobstructed? And the answer to that question is no. How do I know? Well, when Jesus says, do you know what you're looking for? They don't answer the question. So either they hadn't heard the question, or they weren't listening. What are you looking for? You know what their response is? Rabbi, where are you staying? Now, rabbi means teacher. It doesn't mean Son of God, Lamb of God. We're looking for you. We're looking for the Messiah, and you are it. They say, rabbi, where are you staying? And Jesus has to say to them, well, you have to come and see. Now, in the Greek word, the term for staying is meno, which it's more of the implication than where are you sleeping tonight, but it's where do you dwell? Where's your core? Where's your center? Where are you dwelling? It's an enduring and lasting presence. It's sort of like, what is your ground of being, as Paul Tillich would say? Jesus' answer is, you have to come and see. If I were to use the earthy plumber language, Jesus would say, you have to dig deeper. You have to investigate. You have to examine. You have to get at the root. You have to go beneath the surface to find what you're looking for. In order to do that, you have to come and stay with me. Come and dwell with me. Come and abide in me. In other words, he's saying, you have to come and experience it. Be with me. You have to take the time. You have to carve out that space. You have to do the diligence and make the sacrifice. And then do the hard work and you will find out. You will discover. You will uncover. And you will find out what you need and what you're looking for. And the disciples agree. And they consent. And they commit. But it's like the disciples are saying, well, we don't know what we're looking for. We don't know how to say it. We don't know how to ask it. But we're willing to follow. We're willing to be open. We're willing to be available. And we want to experience what you have for us. We want that blessing. We want that abundant life. We want a new vision, way of being. You know, my plumbing problem was a metaphor for life. Because God needs to clear us out, sometimes completely. You know what happened that night after I got the plumbing? I had a serious case of the runs. Imagine that? It kept me up all night, and I had to flush the toilet, I'm not kidding you, 10 times. So if I hadn't gotten that fixed, you know what would have happened? At 3 o'clock in the morning another time? Now, I wasn't laughing at that time, but God had like this weird sense of humor. Or you could say God had a good sense of timing. In a way, God knew. Maybe God knew that I would eat something funny that night. I don't know. That $1,300 bill was well worth it. But God is saying, I may need to clear some things out for you before you can learn something, before you can experience something new, something profound, something powerful, something spirit-filled. And you know what happened at the end of that passage? The two disciples said, we have found him. We have found the Messiah. When earlier on in that passage, they didn't know what they're looking for. But they said, we have found a new way to live, a new path, a new direction, a new vision. And that's what God has for us. And God says to each one of us, are you willing to be open? Are you willing to be available? Are you willing to come and see? Are you willing to experience? If so, come and see. Amen.